This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment, we're talking about landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes. We're talking primarily about California law. We will also be talking, though, about federal Section 8 housing voucher disputes. So for those of you who are listening to the program live, we're doing this on July 8th. I want to let you know that we are doing a Call a Lawyer with Tad Devlin, who's an attorney in our conference room. And if you want to talk with him about landlord-tenant issues, take down this number if you're listening to us live. It is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917. In a few minutes, I will invite you to call in and talk with my guests on the air. And let me give you that number. It's toll-free, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. My guests are James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants and has law offices in San Francisco. Mark Seidenfeld, who represents landlords and tenants, not at the same time.
Not in the same
different
case.
Times. And has law offices in San Bruno. And it's my pleasure to have as a new guest for us, Robin Levine. She's a former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization. She is now a hearing officer for federal Section 8 housing voucher disputes filed with the San Francisco Housing Authority. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and by the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Robin, if you would do this for us, my understanding, and there was an article in today's San Francisco Chronicle, I believe, that says median housing, rental housing rate today is $4,200. Some people question that. That's a lot of money. We all know it's a lot of money. What do you see as a hearing officer with Section 8 housing voucher issues? Can you give us a little background of what you are concerned with?
I'd be happy to. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure.
Housing choice voucher holders have a variety of problems, but what we are seeing today, in keeping with what you just read from the paper, is that the rents in San Francisco are going up and up and up so high that even people who have housing choice vouchers, even people whose rents are subsidized, can no longer afford to live in San Francisco. And let me explain why. Every housing authority has a list of what are called payment standards. And payment standards are what would be, in an ideal world, the amount of rent that should be paid for an apartment.
The market, they mean the market rate? Is that what you mean?
Well, the payment standards are based on HUD, the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development. They have a list of what are called fair market rents. Each housing authority has a list of payment standards that is based on HUD's fair market rents. They're within a certain number, they're within 90 to 110% of HUD's fair market rents, actually. Mm-hmm. And the payment standards often change from year to year, although they can stay the same. And, for example, the Housing Authority of San Francisco has a payment standard for a studio apartment, another one for a one-bedroom, a two-bedroom, and so on. Well, what happens when the rents, as we've seen them, go up and up is that a housing choice voucher holder pays 30% of their income towards the tenant's share of the rent, and the housing authority typically pays the balance. But once the rent for an apartment or for a house goes above the payment standard for that size dwelling, the voucher holder pays not only 30% of their income, but they pay the difference between the payment standard and the rent that the landlord receives. Let me explain a little further.
Please give us a little example,
okay,
if you would.
Okay. For example, a three-bedroom apartment in San Francisco or a three-bedroom home currently has a payment standard of $2,661.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would be challenged to find a three-bedroom home in San Francisco for that. What you're going to find is a three-bedroom home for $3,500, $4,500. And what the tenant would pay, what the housing choice voucher holder would pay, is 30% of their income plus the difference between that $4,000 rent and the $2,661 that is the payment standard.
Oh, wow.
The entirety of that amount and 30% of their income. What that means is those people are looking to move out of San Francisco. They come to the housing authority, they request a hearing, they say, I can't afford my rent. And at the end of the day, they still can't afford their rent. Because even for people who are given, for example, some people with disabilities are able to receive a slightly higher payment standard as an accommodation for their disability. But even with an accommodation, the rents in San Francisco have gotten so high that people just cannot afford to make up that difference out of their pocket. They don't have the pocket to do that with.
This, of course, everyone, is an example of what's going on in San Francisco. The Housing Authority's Section 8 housing voucher, of course, applies throughout the country and obviously throughout California. But what do you do? What do we do with these poor people who can't afford this? Where are they moving? Are they moving across the bay into Alameda County or places farther away?
What I'm being told by people who request hearings and who over whose hearings I preside are that typically in the past they've looked to the outlying counties, mm-hmm. and they're telling me that even there they're priced out of the market and that they're looking to move farther and farther away. The problem is that many of these people have jobs or are job seekers, and farther and farther away doesn't always guarantee.
No. Here's a question for you that's just come into the studio. So why can't HUD increase their payment standards to reflect Bay Area rents so more low-income Section 8 tenants can afford to stay in San Francisco?
That's an excellent question.
It is a great question.
And the answer to that is this. And, of course, I'm not here representing HUD.
No.
I'm an independent as a hearing officer. They could raise the standards. The ongoing battle that I hear, though, is this, that HUD, on the one hand, can raise the standards so individual families would have a higher subsidy. On the other hand, HUD strives to provide subsidies to as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with a finite pool of money.
I see.
And if they give higher subsidies to some people, they will have no subsidies for which percentage of the people. Where is
their
cutoff?
Their money is limited, obviously.
And that's the ongoing argument. Do you subsidize more people or do you subsidize fewer people with a higher subsidy?
Let me pose this one to Mark.
Sure.
Mark, you mentioned before we went on the air that there is a real hassle going on now between landlords and tenants with regard to service animals. Could you give us a brief description of what's going on?
Almost every lease in the Bay Area has a no pets clause in it. And typically it will say that the tenant may not have any pets other than, and sometimes it will say one cat or one dog or no animals at all. And when filling out the lease, the tenant says, yes, I don't have any pets. And the landlord rents to the tenant, and the tenant moves in, and all of a sudden there's a dog or some other animal there. And when the landlord says to the tenant, you told me you didn't have any pets, the response is, oh, it's not a pet, it's a service animal.
Yeah.
So landlords are now asking people instead, do you have any animals as opposed to any pets?
I see.
And it's not necessarily a question of wanting to discriminate. There are other tenants who have rights also, and there are many people. Everybody in San Francisco in particular is very sensitive. So I've had people, a landlord is forced to accept a service animal, assuming that the tenant
it's
who has
true.
It provides an evidence, yeah. A letter from a doctor or a therapist or whatever. But then the neighbor complains, my child is allergic to the dander put off by that animal,
sure.
and you have to get rid of it. So it creates a lot of problems for landlords. People lie is what it boils down to.
Coy, what comment do you have about this whole idea of a landlord asking, do you have any animals?
Well, as you pointed out earlier, Chuck, we're on the air, so I'll say Boulder Dash.
Thank you for being so polite.
as as it was just described, the reason that they're asking animals as opposed to pets is so that they can choose not to rent to people who disclose that they have animals who happen to be service animals. Therefore, I believe that since the purpose of the question is illegal to facilitate illegal discrimination, then the question itself is illegal and it's an unfair housing practice.
I want to discuss this further in just a moment. Okay, everybody, this is our Call a Lawyer night. We have one attorney here. Tad Devlin for landlord-tenant. It's landlord-tenant only. If you have questions off the air, Tad is there. Be patient. If you call and you get a busy signal, try again. Tad is the only one here. We were originally going to have three, but people canceled, so Tad is here. He's a really good guy. That number, it's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 for Call a Lawyer, landlord-tenant only. And if you want to speak to my guests on the air, the number is, and this is toll-free, by the way, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. This is Your Legal Rights. We're doing landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes. I want to tell you who my guests are. Robin Levine, a hearing officer for Federal Section 8 Housing Voucher Disputes with the San Francisco Housing Authority. James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants, has offices in San Bruno, and Mark Seidenfeld, who represents landlords and tenants and has offices in San Bruno. Mark, what comments do you have to Coy's last one about this is illegal?
I respectfully disagree vehemently with what Coy just said.
You both are so polite. It's just wonderful. Go ahead. Why do you disagree?
We have a civilizing influence here. The reason is this. A landlord is entitled to know to who he's renting and what the circumstances are. Asking if somebody has an animal is no different than asking how many people are moving in. And again, it's the exact same situation. The landlord says, how many people are going to move in? The tenant says, two. And then next thing you know, there are 18 people living there. There's a whole village. That has an impact on the other tenants, on the use of electricity, on water, parking, all sorts of other issues. Landlords have a right to know. And I don't think that's a discriminatory question at all to ask, do you have any animals?
Yeah, it'd be like asking, what race is your spouse?
I don't even think that deserves a response.
Okay. All right, we're going to take some calls in just a minute. For those of you who would like to call in, please be patient, and we'll get to you in just a minute. Are there any other, before we take our first, we're going to take a call right now as soon as Martin brings it to the window so I know who's calling in. What I'd like you to do as you call in, let Martin know what city you are calling from so that we can actually make reference to where we're going on this. Okay, we've got Gideon. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I am a tenant in Redwood City, and I have I'm moving out in a week. And the I'm subleasing from the people who are living here or moving out in a month, and the landlord is kind of pushing them around, and therefore they're pushing us around. And part of this is that we're being asked tomorrow to actually leave the house for a couple hours while the landlord shows some people around.
Gideon, let me interrupt for a moment. When did you get this notice from the landlord that the landlord wanted to show a couple of people around your place?
That was about 2 days ago.
Let me, before you go on, what kind of notice, Mark, under the law should the landlord have given to Gideon?
24 hours advance notice at a minimum.
So that's okay. So go ahead, Gideon. What further did you want to say?
And is it okay if they asked us to leave the house for a while?
Is that okay, Coy?
Heck no.
Okay.
No, they have absolutely no right to ask, tell, anything like that, you to leave your home. They can ask you to, but just like a bum on the street could ask you for a quarter, you don't have to give it to them.
Okay. However, a landlord is wanting to show the place to prospective tenants, and obviously you being there is not going to facilitate that showing. So that's why he asked, I'm sure. But Coy is right. He has no legal right to tell you have to leave the premises.
Anything else, Gideon?
Yeah, also, I was wondering about prorated rent. We had been asked to give 45 days notice before we moved, and we gave about, you know, 4 months notice, and then and now they're saying that they may or may not be prorating our rent for the last month.
I'm not sure I follow, but the bottom line is they can't charge you for rent for a period that you're not there unless they are unable to rent it again right away. And in the Bay Area, that's a far-fetched scenario.
When you gave your notice, Gideon, did you said you gave 4 months notice. Did you say when you were particularly going to exit the rental?
I said the middle of July.
Okay, so that's where we're 1 week off right now. And so the landlord says he or she or they are not going to, they're going to charge you beyond that. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
They can charge you to the end of the month if they're unable to rent it immediately after you leave. In other words, they can't collect double rent for the place. But if you gave them notice that you're leaving by a certain date, that's it. As long as you gave them at least 30 days advance notice, which is all that's required for a tenant, they can't charge you for anything beyond that.
And that's what I heard Gideon say, was that he gave notice for mid-July.
Yeah.
So that a lot of landlords have this idea that you have to give notice for the end of the calendar month. That's simply not true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Gideon?
Okay, and what kind of recourse do I have for making sure that I get back my deposit and everything, seeing as I'm leaving the state?
Uh-oh. Well, how soon are you leaving the state? Right now or next week?
Next week, yeah.
The landlord has 21 days to provide an accounting and a refund, and if he doesn't, or if he does it in an unsatisfactory manner, the typical remedy is small claims court.
Yeah.
But if you're out of state, obviously that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we're subleasing from someone who's also moving out of state.
Well, I think you, the only other suggestion I have for you, Gideon, frankly, since you're in Redwood City, I think you need to call the San Mateo County Lawyer Referral Service. I'll give you the phone number. See if you can get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants. It'll probably cost you no more for a half an hour than $35, and I think you really need to do this.
Okay.
For your own protection, as well as the person who you're subleasing from. And that phone number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. You need to call during normal business hours, and they'll find someone for you for a half an hour consultation. Make sure you let them know you're going to be leaving the area next week.
Okay.
Because you're in a crunch here. This is something. When did you find out from the landlord that the landlord was going to charge you more than what you thought was fair?
That was this week.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you've done what you were supposed to do in terms of giving notice, but the landlord is taking advantage of you, it sounds like. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. We've got John and San Rafael. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. My situation is this. I currently live in San Rafael, and I have a voucher, a Section 8 voucher, and I've been living here for 8 years on that voucher. I have a one-bedroom apartment. What's going on is this. My landlord served me notice, 90 days notice, at the end of January, and I needed more time. So what I did is I drew up an agreement with someone from Fair Housing to extend my notice for another 90 days. However, I have not found a place as of yet, and I'm due to be out of here by July the 31st. Mm-hmm. The problem is that I have not found a place as of yet. What can I possibly do to get another extension? Hopefully my lender may or may not be open to another extension.
So you haven't discussed this with the landlord, is that right?
I have not. No.
Okay. And you have no... You haven't seen anything that you can move into by the beginning of August, is that right?
No one. I've said several places that were appealing. However, they decided to rent to somebody else.
And
I could only speculate as to why that is. My FICO scores are really good. I have very good references, so I don't see what the problem would be. And a lot of places here are really affordable on my voucher. They're affordable on my voucher. There's no problem with my voucher covering anything, everything.
But you're trying to find a place to move. To move into. What thoughts, Coy, what thoughts do you have? What thoughts do you have, Coy, on John trying to get an additional extension? He has not talked to his landlord recently about getting more time beyond July 31st.
I am not very conversant with the Section 8 program, so I can't speak to that. But what I can say is, since you're in Marin County, there's no rent control, there's no eviction control, there's no need under state or local law for them to need just cause to evict you. So unless they will voluntarily give you another 90-day extension, your choices are either leave or end up defending a eviction lawsuit called unlawful detainer. And if you go that path, whatever you do, don't try to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely hire a lawyer or else you're going to get creamed.
How about you, Mark, please?
I would strongly urge you not to go that route. The obvious thing to do, in my mind, is to talk to the landlord. You were able to negotiate something last time. There's no reason to assume that you won't be able to negotiate something again. You had help. You indicated someone helped you. I would recommend that you go back there and see if you can do it again. The landlord may not be willing to give you another 90 days, but some period.
Right. And my question is basically, if worse comes to worse, they say absolutely not, you know, we're going to start an eviction.
You need a lawyer.
You need a lawyer. My suggestion to you, John, is contact the Marin County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. Try to get an appointment with an attorney who does landlord-tenant law representing tenants. Try to do it as quickly as you can. You'll find that at least with a half an hour consultation through the lawyer referral service, it'll probably charge you no more than about $35.
Okay, if they do that.
Wait a minute. What am I talking about? Thank you very much. It's the San Francisco bar, and my brain wasn't functioning as well as I'd like it to be. The San Francisco bar lawyer referral service now is handling lawyer referral for Marin County. So let me give you the phone number. You ready?
Right.
Yeah, 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. You really need to do this. Give them a call tomorrow. They'll do their best. And Robin Levine wants to say something. Go ahead, Robin.
Well, actually, just for everyone's clarification, because Jim mentioned when he began that he's not that conversant with Section 8 matters, this is not a Section 8 matter. Most housing authorities would look at this issue and other issues between a landlord and a tenant as just that, between the landlord and the tenant, and it's not a housing authority issue.
Yeah. So you better...
Although I would not be surprised if many of the prospective landlords who've rejected you have done that, because are you looking to move with your voucher?
Yes.
I people may not say this to you, but that may enter into their decisions to turn down your request for a tenancy.
Right.
Wow.
I realize that. Anyway, if it does go the eviction route, how soon can they have me kicked out of my apartment?
Depends on how aggressive your lawyer is.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you have a good lawyer, it's going to be anywhere from about 6 weeks to about 3 or 4 months.
Really? Wow. Well, John, what you better do is get moving by calling that number tomorrow and see if you can get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants.
Thanks, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, thank you very much for your help.
Good luck. And are you low income?
Yes.
John, also, you might want to contact the legal aid office in Marin County. Have you thought of doing that?
Yeah, I'll do that also.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you should do both of it. You got to really start being aggressive in terms of what you can do to help yourself. So good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for calling. And all right, we're going to take one more call before we end the statewide version of the program, and that is Dave from Visalia. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'm just, this is, first of all, a very quick call, and I don't have a specific problem of my own, but I was kind of captivated as a blind person myself, you who used to use a guide dog, I no longer do, but we have cats, but we also own our house. But my question is, if it is legal to ask a person, do you have any animals. They say no, they're automatically rejected. That sounds to me like legal discrimination that nobody can fight.
Okay.
It could well be discrimination. The problem is when you're renting a unit in San Francisco, when a landlord opens a unit up for rent, 35 people show up wanting to rent it. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, so the landlord gets to pick and choose. It's clearly illegal to discriminate based on disability, gender, sexual orientation, race, religion, all those other things. But who knows what goes on in the landlord's mind? The landlord wants the most money that he can get with the least problems.
And again, to reiterate, I can't see any non-discriminatory reason for the landlord to want to know whether there's going to be a service animal.
You can see no non-dis. You feel it is discriminatory,
right? Because
I would
he
agree
would
agree with him. I would agree with Mark. I can't see any reason either.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
No. Okay. Thanks.
There we are. Hey, thank you very much for calling, Dave, and bringing that topic up. It's one that is obviously of concern for a lot of people. What we're going to do, by the way, this program, in case you're not aware of it, is live in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's live on the internet at www.kalw.org, and now it's live on the National Public Radio satellite throughout the country. And so what we're going to do just about now is we are going to end what is the statewide version, because what we do is we record the first half hour and then we distribute it to a number of stations throughout California that play the first half hour in actually next week. So bear with us, and we'll be back with you in just about a minute. All right, it's right now California time, and it is today, Wednesday, July 8th. It's 7:27. And this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes. If you're in any other state and you're listening to us, obviously we're primarily talking about California law, although Section 8, Federal Section 8 housing voucher law, is something that obviously is covered throughout the country. But my guest, who is Robin Levine, former chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization and now a hearing officer for federal Section 8 housing voucher disputes with the San Francisco Housing Authority, can speak from the standpoint of the San Francisco Housing Authority situation. My other guests are Mark Seidenfeld, who represents landlords and tenants and has law offices in San Bruno, and James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants and has law offices in San Francisco. I want to let you know, for those of you listening to this program live on July 8th, that we are also doing a Call a Lawyer night where Tad Devlin is the fellow on the 800 number. Let me give that to you. He'll be here, and no obligation on your part whatsoever. You can call and speak to him off the air. Understand that there are a lot of people probably who would like to talk to him, so please be as brief as you can. That number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. If you would like to talk with any of my guests on the air, it's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255, and we're going to now talk with Abigail. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. So I have a question about my living situation. I'm the tenant, and my dad is my landlord.
Well, that should work out.
well, yes. it sort of does. However, the issue that I'm having is, so he's the landlord, he's the owner of the house, and the house is being, when in his passing, it's supposed to go to me and one of my siblings, okay? He recently got married, and my question is a life estate question. So he gave his new wife life estate, although the house is going to me and my sibling. But we will be responsible for taking care of all the upkeep, the taxes on the property, and utilities, okay? My question is, can I be evicted from this situation presently or in the future, you know, after my father's passing, because this woman has life estate?
The short answer is yes.
Oh.
If she has a life estate, you're in a non-rent-controlled jurisdiction.
She's in Palo. Is this in Palo Alto, Abigail?
Yeah.
This is in Palo Alto.
Well, I don't know Palo Alto, whether there is rent control or not.
I don't think there's not rent control there, is there, Abigail?
No, I don't believe there is.
I don't believe there is.
Yeah, I didn't think there was. And the answer then is yes, she would have the right to occupy that house, and she would be able to evict you.
I agree.
Even though I've been living there for the past 7 years and moved in before she actually did 6 months prior to her moving in.
It doesn't matter whether you were born there.
Right. People get evicted after living in a place for 30 years. It happens.
What's the health situation of your father, Abigail?
The health of my dad is relatively good.
Okay.
And her health is much better
than
actually.
His. Okay.
Yes.
You know what I suggest, Abigail? Abigail, let me interrupt because you've got obviously a very significant issue before you. I think, and by the way, when I give people this information, it's not that I'm trying to make money for lawyers. I'm not. I'm a consumer advocate. I've been doing this program for 31 years. I'm trying to help you, the non-lawyer, deal with issues and educate you in the area of your rights and your obligations. I think since yours is such a significant problem, potential problem, I think you really need to start by calling the Santa Clara County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. See if you can't get, and I think Palo Alto also has I think that Palo Alto has a bar association in Palo Alto. You might want to call either or both and see if you can't get an appointment with an attorney who represents. You're more than a tenant here. You're shaking your head, Mark.
I think
wrong way.
I'm all in favor of attorney referral services, but the answer to this question is absolutely clear. She can be evicted.
Okay, you can be evicted.
May I?
Yeah, go ahead, Coy.
I think a more practical solution to your problem is to sit down with your dad without his wife there and explain that his little girl could be homeless.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That might get his attention.
Yeah.
He could get around it, too. Your dad could give you a long-term lease.
Yes.
He could give you a 30-year lease. That's perfectly legal.
Yeah. I think...
So, wait. So you said he can give me a 30-year long-term lease to live at that residence.
Abigail.
Exactly.
Abigail,
yes.
Please understand that my guests cannot give you specific legal advice.
Okay.
And
listen,
Abigail, stop talking because I'm trying to help you. Please.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be rude, but we got other people who want to talk to my guests. You need, at this point, some advice from an attorney, face-to-face, where you can figure out, what can I do? It probably would be helpful for you, since your father has set up this kind of estate plan. It might be wise for you to try to have an appointment with an estate planning attorney to see if there is some way with some estate planning attorney who might be able to help you work out something with your father, as Mark is suggesting, perhaps a 30-year lease or whatever. But you can't just get it from a radio program, but we're trying to give you some direction, okay?
Yes, I understand that, and I appreciate that.
Okay, well, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Get moving on this. Don't put it under you. Get moving on it so that you're not caught, with nothing to do.
Okay.
Right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. All right. Our Call a Lawyer is still here. He hasn't given up yet. Tad Devlin, 1-800-525-9917. I think he's still here. Yeah, I see him. I see him with a phone through his head. Poor man. So if you're trying to talk to him off the air and you're getting a busy signal, he is the only landlord-tenant attorney here this evening. Be patient. If you get a busy signal, try again. He'll be here for a while. All right. Again, if you'd like to speak to any of my guests on the air, it's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. And we have Ted. Ted from San Francisco. Hi, Ted.
Hey, I have an unusual problem.
Uh-oh.
Brown water or blackish water coming out of my hot water tap.
Uh-oh.
In the kitchen and, to a lesser degree, the bathroom.
And you are a tenant?
I am a tenant in San Francisco in a rent control building built before 1979.
It sounds to me, Ted, as though the water heater needs to be properly flushed out.
Well, you know, that's what the landlord thought, and I thought, but they got a brand new water heater, and the problem continued.
That's
so
strange.
So over the course of, I don't know, 4 or 5 visits, the landlord looked at it repeatedly, and the landlord and his brother are two guys who are cheap and insist on fixing everything themselves instead of calling an actual licensed plumber, and all the stories I keep getting are elaborate theories about what could be causing it, and we're working on it.
You mean it could be like this, Ted? It's the position of the stars right now that's causing this?
Yeah, something like that. He says there's a return line. It might be a return line. Maybe it has stuff in it. It may be a factor that my apartment is the closest to the hot water heater, so maybe
Ted,
own research.
Ted, stop for a moment. Coy wants to tell you something.
Okay, real simple. You use the computer, Ted?
Yeah.
Okay, Google SFDBI for San Francisco Department of Building Inspection. Follow the links on there to the page that says complaints. You can either call them in the morning or right now when you get off the phone, you can fill out a complaint online. They'll come out, look at the situation, cite the landlord, and then he'll have to actually deal with it by getting a real plumber out there to fix the problem.
Well, unfortunately, I actually had the building inspector out at the time, and I had a video of it showing it in, like, graphic detail.
Did he cite the landlord?
He wouldn't do it. Yeah, they cited the landlord, and then he came back, and he said it wouldn't do it at the time he came back. So I did speak briefly with an attorney as a consultation basis, you know, one-time fee. And basically, I was advised to collect your documentation, your letters to the landlord complaining, the times when your landlord came to visit, and your video or photos, and file with the rent board for a decrease in services, which I haven't done because, it's litigation's very stressful for people. It's very
Ted, hold on. Mark wants to say something.
The suggestion that you go to the rent board is an excellent one. Nothing will get the landlord's attention like not getting the rent that he's expecting from you. I would advise you to go there tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as just a tip to, I don't know if you guys deal with it or to anyone listening, apparently what I seem to have narrowed it down to, since the hot water heater is new, is that below most of our sinks, bathroom or kitchen, what connects to them are flex lines. Those are the little rubbery lines that go up to the sink, and it's usually connected to a valve. You can see it by looking underneath. And apparently these are lined with rubber-like material, and it disintegrates over time, and it may take a decade or whatever. And in some jurisdictions, like the East Coast, it's very common to use copper plumbing line instead of these so-called flexi lines that our California plumbing codes allow.
Yeah, we got to move on, Ted.
A problem like
Ted,
this,
we have to move on. Go to the rent board. Go to the rent board. See what you can do.
So for anyone with this problem,
yeah.
That
okay, Ted, we have to move on. Thank you very much for calling, and please go to the rent board. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, The San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. And again, this is usually during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you are in any other county in California, and I can't speak to the rest of the United States, but I think it's probably comparable, you can call your local bar association, county bar association, lawyer referral service. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area, set you up for a half an hour consultation. And in California, with some minor exception, the cost for half an hour is between $25 to $35. The money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep the service going on. So try that if you must. All right. Again, call a lawyer night. Tad Devlin is here, 1-800-525-9917. And we've got Sky. Is this Sky King by any chance?
No, this is a different Sky King.
Oh, okay. I thought Sky King was coming down to us. When we were talking about the stars, I thought you had called in. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so here's my situation. So I live in a condo where we're renting in Oakland, and I come home one day, and there is basically raw sewage all in my sink. It's like this gray, silt, sandy matter. It's water everywhere.
It all backed up, and, right?
Yeah, what happened was the upstairs unit had a flood, and I guess they had hired a plumber to unclog their drain, and somehow when they unclogged it, it all just flushed right down up to our pipe somehow, and it flooded our whole kitchen. Oh. It smelled terrible. Oh. It filled up our sink. It got all over the counters. It was just crazy. So make a long story short, we called the landlord. He said to just clean it out, whatever, call a plumber. But we're like, no, there's all kind of water damage here. Everything is going to be a problem. So I took pictures. I showed it to him. And I guess, to make a long story short again, it was determined by the housing association that it was the upstairs unit's fault. It was going to cost about $5,600 worth of damage for my condo and the condo downstairs, because when my floor flooded, it went through their ceiling and got all over their place, too. My question is, we don't have a kitchen right now. They've taken our floors out because there was water damage. We haven't had access really to use our kitchen, nor have we wanted to use our kitchen for about 5 days, which means we're eating out, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner. We're not using our food. And how much – do I have any rights to ask for money back from the landlord as far as being inconvenienced?
Is this under rent control, by the way?
That I'm not sure of.
You don't believe there's rent control for your condo. You're renting this condo, of course.
Yes, we're renting it from the owner of the condo.
Okay.
And there is a housing association.
Okay. Mark, go ahead.
I'm not sure the rent control would be an issue in this case. Yes, you definitely have a remedy. The remedy is to document thoroughly what's happening, which it sounds like you've already done. Keep track of the money that you're spending as a result of being forced out of your kitchen. And then present a demand letter to the tenant upstairs that caused it, if it was his fault. And or the landlord, if it was the landlord's fault, faulty plumbing, and then sue him. Small claims court, the limit is $10,000 now. And small claims court is a wonderful remedy. They're very responsive in cases like this.
Sky, did you have any insurance, renter's insurance at all?
No.
Sky, can you hear me? Sky, hello? We lost him, unfortunately. Sky, if you're listening to me, if you had renter's insurance, you might want to also contact your insurance company. The other thing I want to let you know, and then Coy would like to speak to you, is that the Alameda County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You might want to contact them since you are in Oakland. The number is 510-302-2222, 510-302-2222, to get some basic information about what your situation is. And it may be that you're going to end up in small claims court, as Mark Seidenfeld says. But I think it's worth it for you to consider paying $35 and speak to an attorney face-to-face. Coy?
All I was going to say was what you touched on, which was if you have renter's insurance, file a claim.
Yeah.
If not, go talk to an agent. It costs you less than a couple hundred bucks a year. and it's well worth it.
Yeah. All right. Jessica, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Oh, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. It's John. Excuse me. John, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi, John. You're on the air.
I'm calling from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And kind of a hypothetical, but say I rent an apartment from a private landlord, and he comes in to do an inspection, say, for pest control, and he has plenty of access to do his pest control or his plumbing or his repairs, but he says, wow, you've got too much stuff in here. You've got way too many books, and I need everything to be, like, under 4 feet, and I need, you know, these piles to be down, and you need to, you know, have more of a pathway in here, et cetera, et cetera. Who gets to determine what's really, like, a safety hazard and what's a housekeeping, and how much right does he have to tell me how to control that or arrange it to his satisfaction?
May I ask you a question, John? Why do you have so many piles of stuff in there?
It's a small apartment. I downsized.
Did you? Okay. So you downsized from a larger residence to a smaller one, and there you are. Mark, do you have some comments for him?
Sure. I think hoarding is a subjective word. Mm-hmm. One man's hoard is another man's small pile, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to the question. I think it really is subjective. I think at some point it could become big enough that it would present a hazard to health or safety. But
yeah,
I don't know what that point would be.
I've urged him to please, you know, bring in a fire inspector or a housing inspector or somebody that can give us an impartial.
Why don't you do that, John? Why don't you call San Francisco Housing?
Well,
go ahead, Mark.
I was going to ask, has the landlord done anything other than just say he thinks you have too many possessions?
No.
Well, in that case, I would just let it go at this point.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a right to come in at will, obviously. He can't just come in whenever he wants. And if he doesn't come in for another year, the situation will presumably just disappear.
He
so
came in.
He wants to come in and see that I am making progress towards clearing stuff out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the landlord has no right to inspect. The landlord's right tenor is governed by Civil Code Section 1954, and it enumerates certain reasons a landlord may enter to inspect the premises. To just do I want to inspect is not one of those reasons.
Yeah,
okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And John, if this continues to be a problem for you with this landlord, I really think, as I've said earlier before during the program, you should contact the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants and both face-to-face for half an hour and get some basic information which might be very helpful to you in terms of what you want to do. Did you get the phone number?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, yeah. I think you need to do that in light of the fact, especially since the landlord says he wants to come in and see further. And if you refuse to let him come in, although Coy says he doesn't have a right to do this, he could possibly turn around and give you perhaps a 3-day notice. I'm not sure, depending on how legal this guy is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think at this point you need to move. And by that, I mean call the lawyer referral service and try to see an attorney as soon as you can.
Okay. Is there any difference if I lived in subsidized housing versus a private landlord? Like in subsidized housing, often, like, I know people who live in SROs in the Tenderloin, and, you know, their people are telling her, oh, you know, we have to have a monthly or weekly inspection, and you have to do this because you're in subsidized housing. Is that legal?
My understanding is that they're more concerned with hoarding in subsidized housing than they are in private housing. Most private landlords don't care about anything other than getting their rent.
Yeah.
If you don't bother them, they won't bother you as long as you pay your rent. Subsidized housing, however, they do inspections of all different sorts.
We're going to move on, John. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
take
you.
Care. Bye-bye. All right. Tad Devlin is still here. 1-800-525-9917 for landlord-tenant questions only. And we've got a number of people who want to talk to my guests, who are James Coy Driscoll, Mark Seidenfeld, and Robin Levine. And that number, 866-798-8255. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going? I love your show. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
Oh, my God, so much. So I live in a low-income housing on Fillmore, which is by Eddy and Lacuna, which is a really hot spot for these guys, like, selling dope and stuff.
Yeah.
I know. Oh, my God. I just saw them, like, put in a whole big bag in a car, and so luckily I called the cops, and they just came through. But, like, I'm on the phone with you, so I can't tell them, like, this is the guy, right?
Yeah.
But they know it's me because I'm not black, and most of these guys, they don't live here, so they're, you know, they're all black and, like, they hate me, right? So they stomp on the roof of my car.
Ooh.
They take the sticker off my car.
Ooh.
So we just got a new management. I had to call the real estate, you know, and so they're trying to, like, you know, step it up. But usually the police just drive through because they're scared of them. But now, like, I just saw a detective coming through today. So I'm seeing a little bit of progress, and I'm hoping, you know, that in the long run these guys are gone. But they love this place because it's an alley where they don't even clean the streets, you know?
Jessica, what is your question, though?
I don't think I have a question about law, but I just want to make sure that, you know, like, I'm trying to call Stanley Roberts and stuff like that. I just need this place to get cleaned up because I see guns. But, you know, there's cameras, and I call, and they don't do anything about these guys. So they're just like, it's like a hot spot for them. So
and you live in San Francisco.
I do. I live on Larch Way, which is an alleyway where police don't drive through unless
you're in a very tough.
I'm not black, so I'm calling all the time because I'm scared, and I have a 5-year-old, right?
Oh my!
I know. So I'm just trying to step it up a notch. I'm going to even try to call Mayor Ed Lee. I just want everybody to know, you know, that this is not fair for the.
Jessica, my guests don't really have anything that they can say to help you.
I just needed you guys to know, you know, that there's so much more that, you know, that is a hotbed, you know, for this kind of.
Well, maybe, Jessica, you should call the mayor's office and see if the mayor. Well, who knows?
Nobody can help me, right? Even
I don't know.
You don't have any answers for me, right?
Well, not my guests, unfortunately. This is a potential criminal matter.
Totally.
If the police are not resolving it and you can't get that kind of cooperation, it seems to me perhaps your next step, if you cannot move from the area, which sounds
I
like...
I'm trying to move them out because I...
Well, I understand. Okay. Well, Jessica, thank you very much for calling.
I just wanted to put this
out. Yeah. Okay. We're going to move on. Thank you for calling. All right, we have right now from Oakland, Tedrine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
My issue is I wanted to see what the opinion of the Section 8 expert on your panel.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am a house owner here. I'm not the tenant. I hope that's not a problem.
Okay.
But I had a tenant that already moved out, but before they moved out, Section 8 scheduled inspection in the house. And for some reason, the heater control wouldn't work. So the Section 8 person inspecting failed the house, the inspection, because of that. Even though I had been in there with the tenant a week before and we went through everything and everything was working, but I wasn't there on the day of inspection.
We have to get to your question, Tedrine, because we're running out of time. Please.
The question is, The heater control got repaired, but the Section 8 refused to pay me for the month. What is my recourse?
Okay.
The tenant even
All right.
paid
All right.
the
Stop, Stedrine. Let me see if I can get any comments for you. Turn your radio back up, if you would. Do you have any comments for him?
I do. What typically happens in a situation like this is in Section 8 housing, a housing authority will send inspectors out, for example, once a year to inspect an apartment or more often if requested. And if something is not working, they will present a written report to the owner with a deadline by which that matter must be repaired. And there are situations, and I'm not, of course, familiar with the details of the housing authority in that county, but the housing authority will often abate rent pending something being repaired and will not pay rent for a period of time while something was in disrepair. Mm-hmm. It sounds from what you're saying, Tedrine, that that is what happened with you. I don't know how long the heater control wouldn't work, and I don't know how long it took it to be fixed. Again, I'm not familiar with the mechanics of the housing authority in your county. In general, that's what it sounds like. Now, if the item was out of repair for a brief period of time, you may want to contact the inspections department or the inspector whose name is on the report that you received to talk about that rent should not have been abated for the entire month.
And I think also, Tedrine, at this point, since this is obviously an important issue for you, you probably should contact the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and see if you can't get an appointment with someone who practices and is knowledgeable about Section 8 housing. Are you still there? Well, maybe he's gone. If you're listening, the Alameda County Bar Association's number and then ask for lawyer referral is 510-302-2222, 510-302-2222. And see if you can't get an appointment with an attorney who is knowledgeable in this area. It's important enough for you to do this because you are the owner of this particular outfit. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us. It's been wonderful to have you here.
Always a pleasure.
Robin Levine, hearing officer for Section 8 Housing Voucher Disputes, San Francisco Housing Authority. Lovely to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Coy Driscoll, James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants San Francisco in offices in San Francisco. Thank you, Coy.
Always a pleasure.
And Mark, who represents landlords and tenants, not at the same time.
Exactly.
Mark Seidenfeld, offices in San Bruno. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is also funded by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. Now, next week, our topic will be estate planning, focusing on should you transfer your property into a living trust? This is something that I think anybody in the United States should be thinking about. My guest will be David Hellman, a specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law, also taxation law. He's certified by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. And so I thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I hope you join us next time. I'm Chuck Finney.